Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each week the hosts Caleb and Jay dive into their five favorite things across an ever-changing landscape of topics. Every episode they share, debate, and sometimes even agree on their top picks, from the profound to the profoundly absurd. Sometimes they even have a guest to give them a fresh perspective, whether they take it seriously or just for the laughs. You're in for a treat, so grab your headphones and let's get started on this week's High Five.
Hey, bud, how you doing?
Yeah, man.
We just had technical difficulties again.
Always got to be something, right?
Well, and yeah, this is, I'm actually surprised I didn't have problems last week because this is a new computer. We got a game room computer just to be up here. We figure Vivian's going to start to need one soon. And so we just got the cheapest new M3 iMac. So it was like basically, I think we got a refurbished one for like just under $1,000. And
yep. So,
and I've loved my M2 Mac, MacBook Air. And we were like, if this computer is anything like that computer, it would be awesome and it'll last us at least 5, maybe even 10 years. Like, it's such a good computer. And so far it is.
Yeah.
Still getting things set up with it. So I'm surprised last week I didn't have any issues, but it somehow got it working.
It managed.
Yeah. So I had to switch the input of my USB for my microphone, and then it immediately recognized.
No, that was fine.
Yeah. I feel like I had to do that last week too. So I don't know if that's going to be like, if the input goes to sleep or something, or forgets the microphone's there. But anyway.
Interesting. Yeah.
So this week we got TV couples.
TV couples.
This one was your idea. You got like a glare on your face.
I know. I tried to fix it while you were away and I couldn't do anything about it. So I was like, whatever.
Just lean to your right.
I know. I can do that. Is that better?
The other way. You have more room on the other side of it. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what, I don't know what's going on. I literally was cleaning the screen.
Oh.
And then I don't know. Maybe I left some. Yeah, something behind. So,
so yeah, you're the one that recommended TV couples. So, tell me about TV couples. And I think I know some of your answer here, but you know what? Why is this a cool topic for you?
It's just we love TV. We watch a lot of it. And I just thought it'd be interesting to. Yeah, to just think about relationships within side of shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are maybe healthy examples of relationships or not so healthy examples? and then after, you know, I was talking to Tori after when we decided to do this, and she's like, oh, what about like other couple, like she was doing like friends and thing, you know, like she wasn't even thinking just, because I was thinking like married couples or dating couple, like
yeah, but
that,
like companions,
kind of,
Laverne and Shirley type characters,
exactly. Yeah, yep. So, I was like, oh, yeah, that's another take of it.
I'm not
too,
sure there's much of a difference, about. You know, between the two, you know,
sure, there's some for sure similarities,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, it's relationship and relationship management and all that. We have someone who would like to pop in and give her favorite TV couple before she has to head to bed. Say hi, Vivian.
Hi, Viv.
Who's your favorite TV couple?
Wanda and Vision.
Ooh, Wanda and Vision.
Yeah.
I like that.
Scarlet Witch mug.
I like that.
Poured my coffee in that for you because I knew that was your answer.
Yeah.
From WandaVision, Wanda and Vision.
Nice.
Yeah, great show.
It's very sad though.
The ending is, yeah.
Well, like the beginning is too.
Yeah, yes.
It's really confusing and not a normal show at all.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe she'd do Andy and April.
Oh.
Ooh.
You know what? I totally forgot about them.
Bert and Janet Snakehole.
Bert and Janet, yeah.
Okay, yep, that's my other one. Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely
that's number two for
mentioned.
You.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I would have them be number one anyway, but they might have cracked my top five.
Yeah. They're not my top one.
Oh, what just happened?
I don't know. Can you not hear me?
I think Katie switched over on my AirPods with whatever she's watching on TV. And she turned them off, and so now I'm hearing you through the computer.
Got it.
I'm hearing her music. Oh my gosh, what's going on?
This lady.
All right, I'm going to do Bluetooth.
James
taking over my AirPods
since like Monday.
I know he wanted to talk to you. Was it yesterday?
Oh,
I think it was yesterday. And I think you were at softball. You had softball yesterday.
It's behind my ear.
We'll grab it then. She can't hear you.
Did you have softball yesterday?
No.
Oh, that was that Tuesday?
She had robotics yesterday.
And softball on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one day that he said he was going to call, but he said you weren't available, that you were at softball. But
that would have probably been
Monday.
Yeah. He's been busy. He's got run club after school every day and then has practice 2 days a week. And
this was the first day this week that wasn't busy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He basically is go, go, go until about 8 o'clock every night. So, but. I'll tell
well,
him
thanks for stopping by, Viv.
Yep.
All right. Give me my
thanks
AirPod.
For giving us Wanda and Vision.
Bye.
Try not to pull her hair.
Bye.
Bye, babe. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured, you know, it was a lot about, you know, all the TV. And I know that a lot of your favorite shows we've gone over, and gone over them on previous episodes. So I knew that, you know, sitcoms are a large part of your family's life and a large part of ours as well. Yeah, that's some of the best parts of those shows is those relationships, those a lot, you know, I think we, like you said, you know, started out with couples, but you know, really, you know, just the relationships in general is what makes those shows, you know, relatable.
For sure. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, should we get into it? And then we can maybe talk about it a little bit more at the end when we get into honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I did talk to Katie about joining us, and she looked at my list and she's like, no, I think your list is pretty good. I don't think I have anything to add to this. So I think I did a good job this week.
Nice.
although I forgot, April,
Andy and April.
Andy and April, yeah. But anyway.
This is the most honorable mentions I have. This was hard for me to narrow down to. I had a lot of them, and I did five extra, but I could have done a lot more extra.
Yeah. I took probably four off, and I have four honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll go first, seeing as though, you know, yours will be your number one will be the culmination. So I'll go with number five, Stefan, played by Bill Hader, and Seth Meyers on Saturday Night Live.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know who this skit is? Yeah. So Stefan and Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live form an unconventional and comedic pairing. With Stefan as the flamboyant and eccentric New York City correspondent for Weekend Update, hosted by Myers. Their interactions marked by Stefan's outrageous nightclub recommendations and Seth's amused yet exasperated responses culminate in a memorable on-screen wedding showcasing a unique blend of humor, affection, and satire. And it was one of those that Bill Hader would come on and, you know, every time he would say something so ridiculous that he would cover his mouth. And that was almost part of the personality of the character as well. And so it was just like, oh my gosh, every time they came on, it was in stitches. And Stefan, you know, was just always coming on to Seth Meyers, and Seth Meyers was always talking about having like a girlfriend and stuff. And Stefan always had so much ire towards the girlfriend. And so I rewatched kind of a mashup of all of those a couple days ago, and I was just in laughter the whole time. Anyway, that's my number five.
Nice. Okay. So that's almost, I mean, I guess they kind of, you said they got married at the end. I don't remember.
They did. Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't think I ever saw that. Okay. Interesting.
I think it was like the last episode that Bill Hader was on. So it was almost like a send off, or it was the last season or whatever. But
Yeah. I wonder how many times, do you know how many times he was on that? I mean, I've seen it, several of them, but
When I watched it today, I think it was a mashup of all of them, and it was probably six or eight. It was definitely a good handful. Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway, nice. That's my number five. Yeah.
Definitely not one I would have thought of.
Very unconventional.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
That's great. I love it.
Yep.
So my number five is Jake and Amy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So Jake Peralta and oh my gosh, where can I think of Amy's last name now? Anyways.
Amy Peralta. Amy. Shoot, I had it on my list.
Technically is Peralta later.
Amy Rodriguez, Amy.
No, I can't think of it.
That's the other chick's name.
I know. It'll come to me. It's fine, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But yeah, so they're a great couple, you know, kind of start out as I don't know about enemies, competitiveness between the two of them as detectives, and then it's
Santiago.
Santiago. There you go. Yep. Santiago. And then slowly evolves into a relationship. I do think there's
spoiler alert.
I know there's some comparisons kind of between like the way their relationship develops with like Pam and Jim, or even Amy and Jonah in the Superstore. So it's a great relationship. It's fun to see kind of how it develops over the years, and and then in the end, you know, they both kind of, I think, They're opposites, but they work well together, and they also make each other grow in different ways throughout the show, which is really cool to see how, you know, this crazy immature guy becomes a little more mature because of Amy, and Amy, who's type A, becomes a little less type A because of Jake.
Yeah.
So
in the middle.
Just that dynamic plays well. And they're great characters, and it's a great show. So they're my number five.
Yeah. They were on my list, and then I took them off my list. They got cut because we have not reached the part in the show where they're like an actual
together
couple. Like they've flirted around, they've, you know, talked about it, but I think they might have started dating, and it was like behind the scenes, but then I think they've cut it off again, so I don't even think they're dating currently in the show where we are, so I had to take them off, even though I know they eventually get there.
yep.
All right, so my number four is Ben Wyatt and Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation. Nice. They're a dynamic and ambitious couple whose shared passion for public service and quirky personalities make them a perfect match, both professionally and romantically. Their relationship characterized by mutual support, respect, and a deep love that overcomes various personal and career-related challenges serves as a heartwarming example of partnership and teamwork in the midst of comedic chaos of Pawnee's local government.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's Amy Poehler and what's his name? Adam blah, blah, blah.
All I can think of is Driver, but it's not Driver.
It's not Adam Driver. Yeah,
I know.
But yeah, it does. Ben Wyatt, Parks and Rec, is played by Adam Scott. Yeah, so already two actors that I love anyway. And so, you know, I know we all know Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live's a big staple in our lives. Vivian just asks to watch it every single week. And so we've been letting her, we've been watching it with her. And like this past week, Ryan Gosling hosted, and it was like probably the best episode in years, possibly in years. Like it was so good.
Okay.
But anyway,
yeah.
Amy Poehler's awesome. We got into it much later. In fact, I think the whole show was done airing episodes aside from like the COVID ones. I think the whole show was done by the time we started watching it. Like we got into it late, and so it was nice that we were able to binge it. But yeah, that's number four is Ben Wyatt and Leslie Knope. All right, so your number four.
Yep, my number four is Chidi and Eleanor from The Good Place.
Ah, yes.
One of my favorite couples. Interesting relationship dynamic. Also just because it's an interesting show where their minds keep getting erased and they don't know how many times they've fallen in love. But I just love the idea that like no matter what, they kind of find their way back to each other. And yeah, it's just I think their relationship's really another interesting, funny one where it's, you know, again, people on opposite ends of the spectrum, but kind of make it work. And I think the way the show wraps up and ends, I think is really good. I love their relationship at the end. As some of it's just the way that relationship begins and ends is pretty awesome. So obviously they only meet until the afterlife, until they're dead. So although I guess they go back to Earth as well, but
that's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, I think their relationship's a fun, interesting relationship. And yeah, I just like the couples. So.
Yeah. And one of the funniest parts is like the dynamic of, they're complete opposites. Somehow they accidentally got paired up as soulmates, but then they end up being soulmates.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's so crazy. It's such a cool.
They spend so many time so long together in the Barrymore. So
yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, my number three, is another off the beaten path one, but I love the thought experiment of it. And that's Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
Okay. Yeah.
I love the idea of Bert and Ernie being a gay couple. I loved this show as a kid, and I do not mean to like, I mean, not it's not defacing the show by suggesting a different reality for it, because like it's an actual thing that could happen, and like it's a beautiful thing that, you know, these two guys live together and just their you know, they fight, they, you know, they enjoy things together, and they're like they're just two dudes living together anyway, so why not, you know, why not be a gay couple? But Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street are iconic characters known for their contrasting personalities and deep friendship. Living together in an apartment on the famous fictional street, their dynamic, filled with playful banter, teaches children about value of friendship, understanding, and accepting differences, making them a beloved duo for generations of viewers.
Yep.
So yeah. Bert and Ernie. Yeah, like I already explained, the idea that they're a couple, it's kind of a cool concept.
Well,
so.
I mean, they're a couple either way, right? Whether they're a couple of friends or they're a couple of, you know, gay guys, it doesn't matter either way.
Exactly.
You know,
they're
a good example of a good relationship where they joke around with each other, but they care about each other.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Protect I can't one remember another, if we were recording yet or not, but we talked at the beginning that, you know, that's some as you were talking to your wife Tori, you know, about some of your selections, and Yeah, and she kind of asks, why not just be like, you know, yeah, pairs of characters like Laverne and Shirley and that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, because her number one would be Leslie and Anne.
Oh, Anne Perkins. Yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I could see that. Yep. So.
Okay, cool. So my number three is David and Patrick from Schitt's Creek. Again, another, I think, just a beautiful example of a relationship of people getting together in a unique and awkward circumstances, you know, would have never met if it wasn't for David's family losing all their money and moving to a small town to run into another guy from a small town, running away from his past. But I love their relationship, the way that it kind of starts out a little awkward and weird. You know, Patrick doesn't even know he's really gay until he meets David. And yeah, so it's just, I just think their relationship is a really good, healthy one. They both make sacrifices for each other. They both seem to really make each other grow and develop as individuals. And then, yeah, I don't know. There's just some scenes in that show that have, I don't know, just are incredible when it comes to like just a fun, healthy relationship. You know, there's a scene where David is lip syncing to Tina Turner and kind of dancing with Patrick. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. I love that relationship. I love that show. So they're my number three.
All right. I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's the next show we're going to start watching.
You have not watched Schitt's Creek?
No.
Well, sorry I ruined that for you.
That's okay. No, I'm looking forward to it. I don't think you ruined anything. I mean, I know a little bit about the characters already.
Well,
anyway.
You don't meet Patrick until, I think, season two. Yeah, I think season two is when you meet Patrick.
Okay.
So.
All right.
But it's a great show.
All right. Yeah. Well, looking forward to it. Had many people tell us to watch it. So.
Yep.
Yep. That's next. Got to finish Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We're kind of in a funk right now. We're so busy.
Yeah.
All right. So that was your number three. My number two is Jim and Pam from the American version of The Office. They're coworkers at Dunder Mifflin who evolved from friends to a beloved married couple, showcasing a heartwarming journey filled with playful pranks, mutual respect, and deep affection, all set against the backdrop of their everyday office life. Their relationship, marked by its genuine, relatable dynamics and moments of both humor and tenderness, becomes one of the central emotional pillars of the series. Yeah, I mean, it's Jim and Pam. It's the classic sitcom couple where they're always kind of suggesting that they're going to end up together because they always end up in, you know, awkward scenes together, or like scenes where, you know, they're, you know, expressing or opening up to each other about, you know, what's going on in their lives. And so like they've always been a natural couple. And so I don't even know how many seasons it was before they ended up together, but it was, you know, it was
season
it took
four.
A while. Season four. I figured you'd know. I kind of was leading you into that. But yeah, it's just, you were always rooting for them. And that's a lot of my, you know, as we get into the rest of them, and, you know, even the honorable mentions, it was a lot of them where you're just kind of like rooting for them because the camera was always drawn to them. It was always them, you know, the center of the scenes. So yeah, that's my number two.
Yeah, there was, they were saying, I don't remember if it was Ricky Gervais or, oh, I can't think of the other guy, the other tall British guy who created the original, but one of them said that Pam and Jim are really the heart of the show. Like, that's really what the show's about, even though Michael's the star, but their relationship's really, really the heart of the show. So, okay. So my number two has already been mentioned, but is Ben and Leslie.
Yes.
It was hard to decide between my top two. But Ben and Leslie came in a second. Tori and I say a lot of times that Ben and Leslie are the closest example of probably our relationship on TV. So yeah, I just, you know, I know you read the synopsis and we talked a little bit about it, but yeah, I think Ben and Leslie just, work well together. You know, they They care for each other. They both make sacrifices for each other, support each other, but are still dorky, nerdy, kind of funny together couple. So yeah, I love the Ben and Leslie dynamic for sure.
Nice. Yep. Hard to go wrong with that one. All right. My number one is Marshall and Lily from How I Met Your Mother. This you just said, you know, the of all the characters that you guys, you know, that remind you of your own relationship.
Yeah.
You know, was Leslie and Ben. Marshall and Lily is for me and Katie in my mind. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Just how, you know, just the relationships, the dynamic of the show is like, you know, these young adults that are, you know, kind of, you know, in these, you know, they've got multiple friends that are dating each other. And then all of a sudden someone's dating somebody else. And it's just like, there were so many things about this show that was, you know, just like our own life.
Sure.
And Marshall and Lily, you know, we were all, you know, Katie and I were, you know, we dated, you know, for a while, and then, you know, we've been married for so long that, you know, we've always been around other single people in and out of our lives. And, so it's always been one that really resonated with me. Marshall and Lily from How I Met Your Mother are college sweethearts whose enduring relationship is characterized by deep love, shared dreams, and the occasional challenge, serving as a strong emotional foundation throughout the series. Their journey, filled with humor, heartbreak, and growth, mirrors the complexities of long-term commitment and the importance of friendship, making them a relatable and beloved couple to the audience. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Just anytime that show's on, I always get drawn to it, and that's a big part of it.
Yeah. 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 They're the only really consistent relationship in that show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's kind of off again, on again, on again,
all over the
again.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who, by the way, I've never watched the end of that show. Who is the mother? Do they reveal that at the end of the series?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Just was wondering.
I mean, I could ruin it for you if you want me to, but
you're not going to ruin it for me. I'm not going to probably watch that whole series. I don't think, but
you meet her and she ends up dying of cancer. And so then it ends up being Robin. Robin's the like stepmom. Robin ends up being like the, you know, the real mom or whatever. Yeah. Okay. It's kind of a weird ending, and there's no way anybody could have guessed that. It was such a, like, I guess you could guess it, but like, that'd be a weird thing to guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I predict that they're going to meet the mom. She's going
right.
to have both kids, and then she's going to die of cancer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my number one has already been said as well. And that is probably comes to no surprise, is Pam and Jim from The Office.
Yes.
Again, I mean, it's my favorite show. One of my favorite scenes is when it's the final episode of season 3. Pam and Jim are not together at this point, but Pam's doing this talking head and she's talking about how, you know, their timing has just never quite worked out and da 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 da. And then Jim kind of breaks into the office while she's doing the talking head and goes, you know, what are you doing tonight? You know, like nothing, like you want to go get dinner? And she's like, yeah. He's like, okay, it's a date. And like her little smile that she makes, I just love it. I don't know. I just feel like it's such a real example of a relationship.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just to see them grow as a couple. I don't know. I love their dynamic. I love the way they play those characters. And yeah, like I said, I think it is, you know, it is really the heart of that show, their relationship. And I think, you know, it's nice because it, you know, it is a comedy, you know, it's a funny show, but they're, you know, they do deal with some real issues and some drama later on in the series and stuff. Yeah. So, but yeah, I they're my favorite couple. So
nice. Yep. Can't go. I mean, where did they end up on my, yeah, they were my number two. I mean, it's, yep. Yeah. Like, They it was really probably a coin toss between that and Marshall and
Lillard. That's exactly.
So cool. Well,
that's top five.
Yeah, that's our top five. I'll do my honorable mentions and then you can do yours. I had Kevin Arnold and Winnie Cooper from the Wonder Years. When I was a kid, man, oh my gosh. Yep. Like, I had such a crush on Winnie Cooper. And I love that show so much.
Now that you say that, I didn't even think of like Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World. Like, that was mine for
her. Yeah. Yep. And I was just a little bit too old for that. I knew, obviously, I knew the show, but I was too cool to admit it. All right. So I had Sam Malone and Diane Chambers from Cheers. Yeah, that was a show that I sometimes got to stay up and watch when I was a kid.
Sam and Diane.
Yep. And then Obi-Wan Kenobi and Satine Kreese from Star Wars, the Clone Wars series. Actually, Satine is what's her name? Sister. Sabine Wren.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's actually, that's her sister. So anyway, fun little thing that most people, you know, most just regular Star Wars fans don't know is Obi-Wan Kenobi had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the DL. Then on the DL for sure. Yeah, because Obi-Wan was a Jedi, you know, and he was sworn to whatever celibacy or whatever.
Yep.
My last one is Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog. I was a huge Muppets fan when I was a kid. So
maybe not the best example of a healthy relationship, but right, but a good couple nonetheless. They stayed together through
everybody. Everybody knows a couple like that.
Yeah. All right, so I had Amy and Jonah from the Superstores, number 10. My number 9, Ted Lasso and Coach Beard.
Oh, yes. That's
my good couple relationship together.
Yeah.
My second favorite couple from my favorite show, The Office, is Michael and Holly. I think their relationship is incredible, even though it's very short and we don't get a ton of it, but I do think that they complete each other a lot, and are just a nerdy couple. Number 2 is Bandit and Chili from Bluey.
Oh,
so I think is a great example of a healthy marriage.
That's a healthy one.
And then Andy and April from Parks and Rec just got knocked out of my top five.
Yeah,
it was tough. I thought I was going to put them in there, but I felt like I couldn't do two couples from the same show.
I think that must have been why I didn't even consider it, because I was like, "Yep, I got Parks and Rec covered." Ben and Leslie are just perfect. So,
yeah,
but I don't know, Andy and April.
But I do love Andy and April's relationship is a good one for sure.
So immature. The fact that everything about them is just immature.
Yeah. Yep. He gets married in a Colts jersey out of the blue. They don't even know each other's middle names before they get married. And
yep.
Roberta, ew.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I do think they, even though it's an immature relationship, there are moments where it's like, oh yeah, they have some golden moments too. So
yep. Well, that's our top TV couples. I thought of a couple good topics if we were to move on. Now I'm drawing a blank. So
did
there's
you jot
that.
Them down?
No, I was thinking about them as I was driving this morning. I couldn't stop and jot them down. I should have used Siri. I normally do that. I feel like it was pretty time relevant, like something currently going on that was like, oh yeah, there'd be two good episodes. One would be for, oh shoot, what was it? I'm not going to think of it. I'm drawing a complete blank. Well, let's just go down our list. Musicals, everyday carry items, Weezer albums, board games, we did that, Halloween candy, Christmas songs, any holidays coming up, the Taylor Swift album comes out tomorrow.
There's the superpowers.
Oh, superpowers.
Or it, what's another good one?
Religions.
There's that. There's mascots.
You know, I think that should always be kind of one of our things, is we always mention religions as one we could do.
And we never do it.
But we never do it.
Okay, I picked this one.
Conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I want to do conspiracy theories.
Okay.
Five best conspiracy theories.
I think I might have to do research on that. I don't know if I can name.
Like flat earth, you know, like we never really landed on the moon.
Yeah, right.
Roswell,
yeah, no, I know. I could,
like
I guess Area I could think of
one stuff.
Yeah, I guess I could think of probably five for sure. JFK assassination.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Who killed Jeff Epstein?
Yeah. Notorious B.I.G. is still alive.
So is Tupac.
Yeah. I used to listen to a podcast that was about conspiracy theories. It was a comedian. Did I ever share this one with you? I think it was called like Time Suck. It was with a comedian named Dan, was it Dan Mullins or something like that? And he would just do a, like, he's just a comedian, but like,
yeah,
he was
but he would
really
do
good,
research in it.
Really good researcher. And he would just go on these deep dives about conspiracy theories mostly. And like, he'd get into like specific serial killers, and like, he would just find out everything about them. And then he would basically talk about it and then add his own like side stories to it and stuff. And it was just so funny and so interesting, like the things that he would he would find. It was very interesting. So anyway, but yeah, I think this will be a fun one. Yeah, it'll be a little bit more research, but I feel like AI can help me with this quite a bit.
Is AI a conspiracy theory?
Ooh. I was listening to a podcast about AI and about how everything that AI is built on, like all of the data that was used to like make AI better and test it and all that, all the data was stolen data from, you know, we the people sort of thing. Like all of the information they basically used without getting, you know, our, you know, permission, YouTube videos, like everything.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's breaking.
Well, it's still being fed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So very interesting. And now like people are starting to sue Google, sue Meta, and sue obviously what is it, OpenAI or whatever.
OpenAI, yeah.
You know, because these are the three big companies that are going against these, you know, Google's going against.
Microsoft's big into AI too right now. So
yeah. I don't know if they're part of being the people being sued or not, but yeah, it's really interesting stuff, but it's also fun to use. So I like making our podcast episode artwork with it.
Yeah. 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 Jameson saw that. He goes, did he use AI for that? And I said, yep, he did.
I try to just keep regenerating it until you get the right number of fingers and toes, and then I call it good. Because every once in a while I'll be like, that person has 12 fingers.
Yeah, they always say if you want to test or you want to know if something's AI, look to the hands first. That's always
the
telltale sign. Yeah.
Yeah. The closer you look, the weirder it gets.
Yeah, or for the third arm that comes out from somewhere that it's not supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cool. Well, that'll be a fun one. I'm gonna think of it. I know as soon as I get off the line here what the other one was, but I feel like it was one that we might need to do a little bit more research on anyway, so it might not be one we want to do right away. So cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
so was a fun are one. We gonna are we supposed to convince people of our top five conspiracy theories, or
in my mind I think we're just picking like our five,
I know,
like the most compelling conspiracy theories, like the most like the best stories. Whether or not they're true or not, like just the best stories. Yep.
Did you ever see that comedian's joke about conspiracy theories? Mm-mm. I think I sent it to you in an Instagram reel.
Oh, I probably watched it then. Yeah.
It's funny. He's like, you don't believe in any conspiracy theories? It's funny. He's like, I'm a dad to one kid, and I lie to that man all the time. Can you imagine the government? I'm like, they're in charge of all of us. Anyway, it's funny.
Yep.
I butchered it, but it's a good joke about conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes sense. Like, we lie to our kids for their own good. Why wouldn't the government lie to us? Yeah.
Yeah. You think you think the government's just batting 1,000 right now on the truth?
That's scary.
Anyways.
So cool. Well, this will be a fun one to edit, but oh well.
Just throw in some funny sound effects in the background and call it good.
Some Benny Hill music.
Yeah.
With a technical difficulty thing going across.
Yeah.
Where'd Jay go? Cool. All right. Well, it's been real. It's been fun.
It's been real. Same, sir.
As always, good talking to you, Caleb. Yep. All right.
Until next week.
And that's another episode of the High Five Podcast. Remember, five is just the starting point, not the limit, guiding us through another labyrinth of favorites with a few extra twists. Catch us next week for more adventures in counting and beyond. Until then, a high five from Jay and Caleb to you. See you next time.